I picked out this lesson actually over a month ago. And I was debating about whether to do it because I had done one on this topic before. And so I was thinking, well, it's been a little too soon. And then Colossians came along and I was looking at that and I said, well, this fits really well with the topic that we talked about this morning. And then I also listened to the news and things happened yet again. Another act of violence. And people will actually naturally want to know why. Why is this happening? We've been having riots. We've been having acts of violence going on now for several years. What can we do to prevent it? What can we do to feel safer? And people tend to, when panic comes along, grasp at simple solutions, quick fixes. But they don't really fix anything. And oftentimes they're not really related to the problem itself. You know, rocks don't cause stonings. Knives don't cause stabbings. And guns don't cause shootings. You know, if you limit the access of weapons, you know, one weapon, then all people will do is find another weapon. And still the reasons why some are using weapons, that's the point that we're not really addressing. You know, it's been correctly noted that violence against the innocent has been increasing. It wasn't this way a few decades ago. At least didn't in my lifetime. I remember times that when things tended to be more peaceful. And it ought to cause us to ask, what has changed? You know, violence is not a new problem. It's spoken about extensively in the Bible. And it tells us that violence is a moral problem. In Psalms 54 and in verse 3, David wrote and said, "For strangers have risen against me, and violent men have sought my life. They have not set God before them." Therein lies then the crux of the matter. They are not focused on God, and one of the aspects of it is violence increases. And so the point that's sometimes made that, well, you know, one of the problems we've had is we're taking God out of school. The Bible's not taught. People don't talk about Christianity and moral principles. And that's leading to a rise in violence. And that's actually true. God's teachings do keep people off the path of violence. Take a look at Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and in verse 4. "As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept from the path of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." By God's words, by God's teachings, we learn how not to be violent. And it's not just in schools. It also stems from the fact that the Bible's not being taught as much in homes either. Take a look at Psalms 58. Psalms 58, and starting at verse 1. "Do you indeed speak righteousness, O gods? Do you judge uprightly, O sons of men? No, in heart you work unrighteousness. On earth you weigh out the violence of your hands. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who speak lies go astray from birth." From the very start of their lives, they go off into evil. And of course it shows up in everything else that happens in their lives. People grow up not knowing what is right and how to live righteously. Take a look at Amos. Amos chapter 3 and verse 10. Amos chapter 3 and look at verse 10. But they do not know how to do what is right, declares the Lord. These who hoard up violence and devastation in their citadels. This is then part of the problem, is the lack of education. People aren't taught morality as they ought to be taught. But there's another problem also, and kind of related to that. Sinful people tend to be violent people. There is a relationship between violence and strife and iniquity and mischief and things like that. Going back to Psalms, this time Psalms 55, and starting at verse 9, Psalms 55 and in verse 9, confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. They're all interrelated to one another because it's an outgrowth of mischief, is an outgrowth of strife. You know, sin is basically going against the law. And the problem is that when people are involved in ignoring the laws, they tend to ignore the laws that deal with calmly settling problems. So in Habakkuk chapter 1, and in verse 2, how long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists, and contentions arise. Therefore the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted. And that's the problem that we're seeing around us. People are ignoring God's laws especially, but even the laws of men. We have violence because there are some people around that are just plain wicked. In Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 15, and look at verse 21. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. But along with this, not only is there ignoring of law, but the reason we have violence is that people have lost their love for their fellow man. They don't have a respect for life. One of the things that I've always found interesting, and it's even found in scientific studies, that's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10, is that it says, a righteous man has regard for the life of his animals, but even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. You can tell a child who's going to grow up being a violent person by the way they treat animals. Those who have no respect for life, it carries with them even into their adulthood. In Psalms chapter 86, there's another mention of a problem related to that. The reason they have no respect for life is because they only have respect for themselves. In Psalms 86 and in verse 14, It says, O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life. They have not set you before them. And that's often true among the rich. Take a look at Micah. Micah chapter 6. And in verse 12. For the rich of the men of the city are full of violence. Her residents speak lies, and their tongues is deceitful in their mouth. Have you ever thought about why is it that there's a lot of violence among the rich? Have you noticed that most of the violence or the violent people come from wealthy families? If you look at a lot of the rioters and things like that, a lot of them are been raised up in wealthy families. Because these are people who have time on their hands. And their wealth deceives them into thinking that they're superior to other people. And their wealth allows them then to purchase tools and men of violence to do violence. Take a look what this says in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and in verse 6, Psalm 73, starting at verse 6, therefore pride is their necklace, and the garments of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge from fatness, and the imagination of their hearts run riot. And so, this arrogance that comes from being rich ends up making a person not care about other people's lives. Because they see everyone else as being inferior. And in Hosea chapter 4, Hosea 4 in verse 1, it says, listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of the God in the land. They're swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence so that the bloodshed follows bloodshed. Here then is the problem. There's no mercy. There's no kindness. They're not following God. They're not listening to the teachings of God that we are to respect one another. Also take notice that a lot of the times that we have people who are shooting other people, notice that they're often lonely, isolated people. They don't connect with other people. They've lost their sympathy and their love for fellow men. Another problem is their rashness. They're eager, like the violence we had just this last weekend. They're eager for a solution to a problem, but they don't think about the consequences of their actions. Sometimes they plan things out in detail, but the focus is on the event and not on the consequences. Take a look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, and starting at verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. And I find the events of last weekend especially true because they were talking days beforehand that there were going to end up being riots. People were plotting this. People were planning this. But they don't think about the consequences of what they do. In Isaiah 59, Isaiah 59, and starting at verse 6. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, and devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their path crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. By saying that their garments are spider webs, they're saying they're useless. They fall apart. They don't really do the job. Violence doesn't solve the problems. And so there is no peace. And it comes down to a refusal to do what's just. In Proverbs chapter 21, Proverbs 21 and in verse 7, the violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. Have you ever thought about that? You know, somebody got killed, and that's a problem. And those who caused it ought to go to jail and get tried, and the consequence happens. How does looting stores and burning businesses fix that problem? Oh, we got to make our voice heard. You can make your voice heard without it destroying other people's properties. You can do that without causing more violence. But the problem is we got troublemakers. People who are rebellious, who just won't listen. In Psalms 58. Psalms 58 and in verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Those who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf cobra that stops up his ears, so that it does not hear the voice of the charmers or a skillful caster of spells. The violent are people that are just going around with their fingers in their ears. They refuse to listen to anyone. They have their own ideas, and they're going to do what they want. And they break all the restraints that should slow things down. Going back again to Hosea, chapter 4, and this time verse 2, it says there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. But behind all of it, there's hatred. In Psalms 25, Psalms 25 and in verse 19, look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Therein lies the problem. People hate one another. Where does this hatred come from? Well, one of the things, and we talked about in class, one of the root causes are lies. Take a look at Psalms 27 in verse 12. Psalms 27 in verse 12. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and as such as breathe out violence. When people indulge in telling lies, it ends up generating violence. And it spreads. And the problem is, the more violence that occurs in our world, the more we get desensitized to it. We're almost getting to the point where we're expecting riots, instead of being shocked at it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is the warning that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You hang around things that are wrong, and it'll start to influence you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Now he's talking about the spread of false teaching here, but it's true of other things too. The more you're exposed to it, the more you're numb to it. And it comes about from lies at the root of it. And this is just the way sin is. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 17, Ephesians 4 and verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer in the just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become calloused, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity, with greediness. The more you are exposed to sin, the more calloused you get to it. You're numb to it. And those involved in it hide their intent. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10 and verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. It's not that it disappears, they're hiding it. And in verse 11, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Not only that, but you can't trust these people. In Proverbs 13 and in verse 2, from the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violent. Those are the ones that are untrustworthy. And another problem that we have is the more violence gets into our society, the more is actually promoted by others as a solution, though it does not solve anything. Take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 29. It says, a man of violence entices his neighbors and leads them in a way that is not good. He who winks with his eye does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. Those who are involved in violence, they want other people to join them. And you can see this in the beginning of Proverbs when it talks about gangs. You know, we always have problems with street gangs. They cause violence. But in Proverbs 1 and verse 10, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive in the like shield, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. The appeal, join for the power, join for the wealth, join for belonging to a group. All founded, though, on violence. And in Proverbs chapter 4, and in verse 14, the writer says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of the evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it, turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Therein lies the problem. Don't even start down the path because people encourage it. One of the things that's mentioned in Exodus 32, or sorry, 23. Exodus 23, and in verse 2. Exodus 23, and in verse 2. Get my Bible to, my mind to work together. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Therein lies one of the problems. Everybody else is doing it. And the temptation is to conform, to go along with it. People see others doing evil and they're emboldened to do evil themselves. Even people who would not normally act violent will oftentimes get caught up when violence breaks out. Take a look at Acts chapter 19. Acts 19 and in verse 28. When they heard this and were filled with rage, they began crying out, saying, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." The city was filled with confusion, and they rushed with one accord into the theater, dragging along Gaius and Archippus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. And then jump down to verse 32. So then, some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. There is mass thinking. Violence breaks out. People are causing things. And there's a whole large crowd, and most of them don't have any idea what's going on. But they're a part of it. I found a very interesting quote here. It says in his, this is a man named Granovetter's view, a riot is not a collection of individuals, each who independently arrive at the decision to break windows. A riot is a social process in which people did things in reaction to and in combination with those around them. Social processes are driven by our thresholds, which are he defined as the number of people who need to be doing some activity before we agree to join them. And in the elegant theoretical model Granovetter proposed, riots were started by people with a threshold of zero, instigators, willing to throw a rock through a window at the slightest provocation. Then comes the person who will throw a rock if somebody else goes first. He has a threshold of one. Next is the person who has a threshold of two. His qualms are overcome when he sees the instigator and the instigator's accomplice. Next to him is someone with a threshold of three who would never break windows or loot stores unless there were three people right in front of him who are already doing that, and so up to the 100th person. A righteous, upstanding citizen who nonetheless could set aside his beliefs and grab a camera from the broken window of the electronics store if everyone around him was grabbing cameras from the electronics store. Granovetter was most taken by situations in which people did things for social reasons that went against everything they believed as individuals. Most did not think it right to commit illegal acts or even particularly want to do so, he wrote, about the findings of a study of delinquent boys. But group interactions, such as that, none could admit this without a loss of status. In our terms, their threshold for stealing cars is low because daring masculine acts bring status. And reluctance to join, once others have, carries the high cost of being labeled a sissy. You can't just look at an individual's norms and motives. You have to look at the group. And I thought that was a fascinating point, especially given in light of Acts. People will do things they would normally never do if they get caught up in a group that's doing wrong. But I want you to understand, it can also happen gradually, not in just a spur of the moment. When you start hearing more and more acts of violence, people start thinking, well, it's all right. And violence starts to spread. Sometimes in a quick manner, but some of it's in a slow manner. And so violence is not stopped. It's not slowed down. It gains speed. One of the problems is because nobody assigns any fault. In Hosea chapter 4, in Hosea chapter 4 again, this time we're going to start at verse 3. It says, Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the birds of the fields, or beasts of the fields, and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with the priests. So you stumble by day, and the prophet will also stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. Herein then lies the problem. No one finds fault. Nobody says this is wrong. You want examples of this? How many of the rioters have been arrested and behind bars? Why? Oh, they had reason to riot. No, they destroy people's businesses. But nobody finds fault. They don't make people responsible for their own actions. And so sin increases because there's no restraint. Take a look at Exodus 32. Exodus 32 and in verse 25. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. Aaron didn't slow them down. He didn't tell them, stop. And that's why they went off into worshiping a golden calf. Evil increases if it's not punished quickly. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And look at verse 11. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. People get this attitude, I can get away with it. It's a gambler's impulse. Nothing bad happened this time, so it may not happen the next time. And so people take the risk. And unfortunately, too often, they're justified in it because they get away with it yet again. But then people don't change, and without a change, there's more violence. In Psalm 7, starting at verse 12. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He's also prepared himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fierce, fiery shafts. If they don't change, they turn to violence. Behold, he travails with the wickedness. He conceives mischief and brings about falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he has made. His mischief will return upon his own head and his violence will descend upon his own pate. And so what is the outcome? Well, all the way through it says they die. In Psalm 37, and in verse 34, It says, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you and to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a violent, wicked man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in his native soil. When he passed away, and lo, he was no more, I sought for him, but he could not be found. And in Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. See, God hates those who love violence. In Psalms 11, and in verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire, brimstone, and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, the upright will behold his face. God finds violence disgusting. In Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, and in verse 16, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. In other words, it makes him nauseous. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. There isn't just one cause of violence. But there is one solution, and that's Christ. It's a solution that you and I individually need. And it's a solution our society as a whole needs. Desperately needs. So let us go out and turn the world upside down like we did before, as it talks about in Acts, with the good news of the gospel of peace. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the psalm that's selected.